Thank you, Jason. Good morning. I'd like to start off by just echoing some of the sentiments that we started off with. Congratulations on joining the body of Christ. We look forward to partnering alongside you in your journey with Christ. To our veterans, thank you for serving. We appreciate it. Well, good morning and welcome to Rockville Christian Church. We're glad you're here to worship with us and study with us this morning. If you're new here, welcome. We're super glad you're here. We pray that today will be a blessing to you. As you've already heard this morning, we're going to be kicking off a new series called Modern Parenting, where we want to explore what it looks like for our faith to take root in parenting. Now, in this series, we are not really looking to address every single issue that parents deal with. To do so, we would need someone a lot wiser and with a lot more experience than me. But rather, we're going to be doing a topical series where we want to address some of the issues that modern parents are facing today. And today, we're going to be talking about parenting and technology. And I'm going to be talking about a theology of technology. I just want to start off by saying that everything I have to say today is not 100% original with me. Greg bought me a couple books a couple weeks ago, and a lot of what I got to be saying is going to be coming from these books. The TechWise Family by Andy Crouch. It's got a lot of studies by Barna, if you're familiar with that. And 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Reich. And if you'd like to take a look at these after service, I'd be more than happy to let you look at them. Now, how many of you guys have a smartphone on you right now? Show of hands. All right, get it out. Let's see it. Let's get it out. Go ahead and put that on silent for me, okay? All right. How many of you guys have a tablet? Not maybe here, but at home. Maybe an iPad, a Kindle. Okay, pretty good bunch of us. All right, how many of you guys, I can't show you, my sleeves are too tight, have a smartwatch? Okay, a lot of us. Yeah, okay. Today, this is kind of what we're going to be defining as technology. Now, I know there's a lot of things that we can define as technology, but for our purpose today, that's what we're going to be defining as technology. You see, Apple's and Android's mobile phones, as well as tablets and smartwatches, have spread all over the globe and to every corner of our lives. We now check our smartphone every 4.3 minutes of our waking lives. That means by the end of my sermon, you will have checked your phone, smartwatch, or tablet 4 times. You're probably not going to now that I said that. Since I first got my first smartphone, it was the spring of 2013. I was a senior in college. A smartphone has been within my reach 24/7. It's been there to wake me in the morning, to DJ my music library. It's been there to entertain me with videos and movies, live television. It's been there to capture my life in digital pictures and videos. It's allowed me to play the latest video games. It's been there to guide me down foreign streets. It's been there to broadcast my social media. It's been there to reassure me that every night that I will wake in the morning with an alarm. I use my phone to keep my always changing schedule in real-time sync. I use my phone as well as my tablet to research, to edit, and even write my sermons. I use my phone to actually tithe to Rockville Christian Church now. I use my smartwatch to receive all my text messages. It tells me to stand up when I've been sitting too long. It tells me to take deep breaths, and it also tells me my heart rate and when I need to calm down. I use these devices for just about everything, and for the most part, these devices go everywhere I go. It goes to the bedroom. It goes to the office. It goes on vacation with me, and yes, even the bathroom. The smartphone, as well as the smartwatch and tablets, have become the most powerful handheld tools of social connection ever invented. With our phones, all of life is immediately capturable and shareable. So I'm not surprised at all that the iPhone was named the single most influential gadget of all time. And it's said that it has fundamentally changed our relationship to computing as well as information. A change likely to have repercussion for decades to come, both good and bad. Oh yes, repercussions. What is the price of all this digital magic? You see, the unknown to me at the time that I was unboxing my first iPhone, Steve Jobs, the inventor of the iPhone, was actively shielding and setting boundaries for his children from his own digital devices. Should I be shielding myself and setting boundaries for these digital devices? Should I be actively shielding and setting boundaries for my child with these devices? That's the question this morning. If there's one word that sums up how many of us in this room feel about technology and family life, it's help. I took this picture a couple weeks ago. This is my son, and that's his play computer. It amazes me how drawn he is to technology. Now, me and Haley, we do not let our son be on our phones or on our tablets or my computer, but he is drawn to them. How many of you guys have kids like that? He is just drawn to them. As soon as I take my eye off my son, he runs to my desk, tries to get on my chair, and get on my keyboard because he likes slapping the keys. But he's just drawn to it. I know I need help when it comes to technology and my family. I'm sure many parents in this room know that they need help. You see, I love the way devices make my life easier amid the stress and busyness that fill my day. I'm sure you do as well. We love the way screens can almost magically absorb our children's attention and give us just a few moments of quiet in the car, or maybe before dinner. We admire the ease with which our children master technology, the prowess they show with video games, the burst of creativity in the arts and movies and music that these devices help them provide. But we also see the precious days of childhood are passing by far too fast in a haze of ghostly blue light. We watch as the inevitable intensity of teenage relationships are raised to near toxic levels by a sleep-deprived, round-the-clock deluge of text messages. We feel helplessly to prevent them from overexposure far too early to the most violent as well as intimate facts of life. Parents, we also feel out of control, hopelessly overmatched by the deluge of devices. And our kids, they know that the parents need help as well. These kids, they see how addicted our own parents are to these devices. You see, Apple introduced the first iPhone in 2007. And an awful lot of children born in 2007 have been competing with their parents' attention their whole lives. They see their parents tethered to their laptops, trying to stay ahead of work that has spilled over out of the office and into the evenings and weekends. Older kids know the sick to the stomach feeling of having binged on a video game for days on end, just as their parents know the all too queasy Netflix feeling. How many of you guys know that feeling? Some of us, okay. You see, kids have watched their most media savvy peers, the ones with thousands of followers from their high school, as well as millions of followers from all over the world, first expose themselves, then overexpose themselves. And they go from reveling in the attention to breaking under the weight of other people's expectations and desires. To be a child or a teenager or even a young adult today is to navigate this minefield of potentially life-altering choices. And the sad thing is, it's often with strangely little guidance from other adults who are, after all, glued to their own devices. But what about the grandparents? What about the older generation in this room? Where are they at in all this? Well, you guys aren't necessarily free of your own addiction of overdependence on technology. But I've heard more distress about our current technological addictions from grandparents than anyone else. They love their grandchildren, and with slightly less infatuation, their own children. And they want to spend time with them. Not just as young children, but as middle schoolers and high schoolers and so on. But they see their grandchildren being absorbed in these devices, preoccupied with popular entertainment and chatter with their peers, just as when they could have been having the time of their lives as well as their grandparents' lives. The grandparents perhaps know that we need help most of all. There must be a better way, right, church? There must be a better way. Well, there is a better way. It doesn't require us to become Amish either, to entirely separate ourselves from the modern technological world. And it doesn't require us to deny the real benefits that technology provides our families and our society as a whole. So what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus in 2019 and have this balance between healthy parenting and healthy technology use? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Scripture is pretty clear when it comes to godly parenting. Parenting necessitates being present with our children. The entire story of Scripture is bound up with God's presence with us. He created us to live in it and enjoy it. In the same way, parents procreate children to grow up in their presence. At first, an infant is utterly dependent on her mother's care. And over time, children's need for the parents' presence changes, but they always continue to need instruction and guidance. Even when the children are grown, parents are present. Parents can be present with them through the characteristics they instilled in them while they were young, as well as their ongoing relationship with them. This is our role as parents. Church, are you with me? This is our role as parents, to teach, to instruct, and to guide them in the knowledge of the Lord. That's our role. But even at the best of times, there's nothing simple about raising children and trying to raise them to honor God. Not to mention throwing in a million new devices and apps and social medias, and things get far more complicated. So again, I ask, what does modern parenting look like? What does it look like to try and raise godly children that have a healthy balance with technology? Today, I'm going to offer three suggestions of things we need to reject, as well as things we need to embrace so that we can have this healthy balance of parenting and technology use. The first thing I'd like to suggest today in order to have this healthy balance is that we need to reject ignorance and we need to embrace education. We need to reject ignorance, embrace education. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14 says, "The discerning heart seek knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on foolishness." I could go on in the book of Proverbs. There's tons of stuff that say this. But one thing we learn from the book of Proverbs is that we are to turn to wisdom. We need to put off ignorance and in its place put knowledge. Whenever a new technology invades society, we see a consistent pattern. The older people tend to reject it, while the younger people embrace it. The older people are perfectly content with the technologies that they have always known, while the younger people are excited to try something new. The younger generation surges forward, and the older generation is left behind. And this is true when it comes to parenting and technology as well. Parents often feel intimidated by new technologies. How many of you guys feel intimidated by new technologies? Anybody? Yeah, we got a lot of hands raised. We are often intimidated by these new technologies, so we don't bother to investigate them. Instead, we just hand our children devices without really understanding the power and the capability that these technologies have. And that leaves the children as the one who bears all of the risk. This is what we saw at the dawn of the internet, where parents handed their children a computer and an internet connection, never even considering that their children just might look for and find pornography. As a consequence, we now have an entire generation of young people who are addicted to porn. Why? Because the parents did not do what they should have done. It's easy to blame the children, but we also need to look to those parents who did not fulfill their responsibility. Our responsibility as parents is to train and to educate and to guide them. So as parents, we need to reject ignorance and choose education. As new technologies come along and as existing technologies evolve, we need to remain educated about them. Before handing our children these new shiny gadgets, or before allowing them to join these new social medias, or before letting them download all of these apps that everyone else is using, we need to educate ourselves first about them. We need to reject the temptation to be passive and ignorant. Instead, we need to force ourselves to get educated. So the first thing as parents we need to do to have this healthy balance of technology and family life is that we need to reject ignorance and we need to embrace education. The second thing I'd like to suggest this morning is that we reject foolishness and we embrace responsibility. We reject foolishness and we embrace responsibility. Again, I'd like to quote Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it." Again, it is our responsibility to train our children. As parents, we need to put off foolishness and we need to embrace responsibility. Today, we are metaphorically handing our children power tools and acting shocked when they cut their hands off. This is absurd, and we should expect that our children will make serious mistakes if we do not guide them. We not only need to educate ourselves, but we also need to educate our children. We need to have a plan for introducing new technologies to our children, as well as monitoring them as they use them. This is our responsibility, the responsibility of having a plan. Whatever plan you implement needs to account both for training and for monitoring. Think about training your teenager to drive the family car. How many of you guys have taught your teenager at some point to drive the family car? Yeah. So they get their permit, and what do? You pray. Amen. Do you just give them the keys and say, "Hey, I'll see you at midnight"? No, of course not. You want to do that. You would take them to a parking lot, or in Park County's case, a field, and you would let them drive around in circles, right? Maybe if they did exceptionally well, you'd even allow them to drive the family car home. You would instruct them as they're driving, you would watch them, and you would give them greater privileges as they showed greater responsibility, correct? That's what we would do with the car. When it comes to a car, trust and privilege are hard-earned, and they're quickly forfeited. How many of you guys have taken the keys away from your kid at some point? Yeah. In the same way, we have no business handing our children's phones or signing them up for social media without providing instructions and guidance. The Bible assures us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's what it teaches us. One of the consistent messages of Proverbs is that young people are lacking in wisdom and that they desperately need their parents to teach them how to live with virtue. This puts the responsibility on who? Parents. This puts the responsibility on us as parents. When we give our children a computer or a tablet or social media, we are giving them something that has so much power. And our children can use them to do so much good. But they can also use it to do so much evil. If foolishness is truly bound up in the heart of a child, then we need to assume that without guidance, our children will use them for what? Evil. We need to have a plan when it comes to these devices. A plan that will help teach our children to use these technologies responsibly. So we reject ignorance, embrace education. We reject foolishness, and we embrace responsibility. And the last suggestion I would like to offer today when it comes to technology is that we reject fear and we embrace familiarity. By this point, you may be thinking that these new technologies are just too risky. How many of you guys want to take the Amish approach now? Some of us, yeah, I see a couple hands. You may feel like that, but you can't succumb to that. After all, this is the world that our children and our grandchildren are going to grow up in. And it's far better for us to train them and guide them to use these things responsibly than to just let them go off without it, because they'll learn it at some point. So it's our responsibility. This is our responsibility. And as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 puts it, to train them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, this means even as they use phones and tablets and apps and other social medias. It's our responsibility to teach and instruct them up in the Lord. If there's one thing I know, is that God will be glorified. Amen? And this means that he will be glorified even through technology. He will be glorified, he will glorify himself through technology. How do I know this? Because he has done it through every scary technological innovation that has ever happened. A lot of you guys know that I'm a history guy. I love history. And we can look at history and we can see this all throughout history. Let's think about it. When people first began to record things in writing, when writing was invented, instead of relying on memories, many people were terrified, thinking that writing would breed ignorance. But God used the writing in the best way possible to record his word. So even today, we can find manuscripts going back thousands of years that contain what we know now as the Bible. Again, one of the greatest technological inventions in the Roman world was something called the Roman road. It was created to quickly move soldiers from place to place so that the Romans could dominate and crush other people groups. But the same roads that carried the feet of soldiers to kill people, it also carried the feet of missionaries who would spread the gospel to the corners of the earth. The printing press came along in the 1500s. People were terrified of this explosion of written material, and people feared its power. But what happened? Soon the printing press were churning out Bibles, and the Bible sparked Reformation, and the Bible became the most printed and best-selling book of all time. Soon radios came along, and before long the gospel was being broadcasted all over the world. Then television came along, and soon people were watching church services on TV, and crusades were happening, and the gospel was spreading to distant lands through TV. And then digital devices came along, and apps came along. And very quickly, Christians created the Bible app. Already, this app is extremely popular, and more people today are experiencing God's word in app form. And that's awesome. It's beautiful. God is using digital technology today, too. I do want to take one moment right here to let you guys know that Rockville Christian Church is actually in the process of creating its own app. Through this app, we will be able to tie to Rockville Christian Church. We will be able to preview every sermon and Wednesday night message on there. You'll be able to pray for people through prayer requests on there. You'll be able to reflections on past week's sermons. That's the tip of the spear. You'll be able to do so much with it. But God will use these things. You see, we tend to think, as we look at this digital technology, that no one has ever had to deal with what we are enduring today. That no one has ever had to deal with anything that's intimidating. But time after time after time, all throughout history, the world has witnessed these explosions in technology that have changed everything. And I believe today we're at the frontier of one of these. And we, in this room, we have the difficult work to do. As parents, we must choose to reject ignorance and embrace education. As parents, we must reject foolishness and embrace responsibility. And as parents, we must reject fear and embrace familiarity. And if I could take this one step farther, this does not just apply to parents. This applies to the church. This applies to the body of Christ. It's our responsibility. As Christians, and as Christian parents, we must see how we can use technology for God's glory. How we can use it to advance God's kingdom. As Christians, we must carefully evaluate and investigate the benefits and the risk. This is our responsibility. We must learn how we can use all of these things to carry out God's calling. We must use them for the good of others and for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning in awe of who you are, for sending your son to die for us so that we may have life in you. Lord, I pray a special prayer for all of the parents in this room as they are going through raising godly children. We ask that you be a part of that situation, that you help us as parents to be able to choose to reject ignorance and embrace education, to be with us as we choose to reject foolishness and embrace responsibility, and be with us as we choose to reject fear and embrace familiarity. Lord, we desire to be like you and to grow closer to you, and we desire for our children and for our church to grow and to be closer to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to